Morning, everybody. Again, Moya. Today's daf is Kedushin daf Mem Ches. We left off Mem Zayin Amud Beis, probably 2/3 of the way down the Amud. Today's daf is mainly going to continue with the discussion of Mekadesh B'Milveh Eino Mekudeshes, and talk about various cases in which somebody tries to be Mekadesh a woman with a milveh. In the context or in the course of the discussion of Mekadesh B'Milveh Eino Mekudeshes, we'll talk about whether a craftsman could be Mekadesh a woman by forgiving the wage that the woman would have to pay the man for doing a certain performing a certain task, which would seem to be the forgiveness of some sort of monetary obligation. Maybe that's the conferral of a monetary benefit. We'll see whether such a situation is in fact a case of milveh. It's going to get into a discussion of how we view a wage earner earning his wage, whether yesh l'schiras mitchila v'adsof or eina b'schiras ela l'bsof, whether a person earns a wage as he goes along, or if the entire wage is due only at the back end, only when the person completes the task that he was hired to perform. Then there's a Mishnah, Mem Ches Amud Beis, right in the middle of the Amud, where the Mishnah segues into a discussion of what happens if a person proposes to a woman, if a person attempts to be Mekadesh a woman, and the woman is Mekudeshes under false pretenses. For example, he says that the woman should become Mekudeshes to him with a glass of wine, and it turns out that it's really a glass of vinegar or something else. So we'll see. So we'll start to get into that sugya as well, if time permits. So we left off again. Mem Zayin Amud Beis, about 2/3 of the way down. Second word on the line is Nema. So we had again been discussing the sugya of Mekadesh B'Milveh Eino Mekudeshes, and the Gemara now wants to establish that the issue of Mekadesh B'Milveh Mekudeshes or Eino Mekudeshes is really a machlokas here in the Gemara. So says the Gemara, Nema Katanoi. Let's say that this issue of Mekadesh B'Milveh Eino Mekudeshes is a machlokas tanoim. Hiskachili b'shtar chov. If a person says to a woman, become Mekudeshes to me with a shtar chov, we'll see what that means. Oshahayelo milveh biyad acherim v'hirshaleim. Or if the guy was owed money by other people, by third parties, and he gave over to the woman a power of attorney, right? So let's say Reuven owed money to Shimon, and Shimon says to a woman, become Mekudeshes to me with the money that Reuven owes me. I'm signing over to you that you should be able to collect it. So Rav Meir Omer Mekudeshes. Rav Meir says that she is Mekudeshes, and V'chachamim Omer Meina Mekudeshes, and the Chachamim say that she is not Mekudeshes through these things. So says the Gemara, what was the first case talking about? The first case was a situation where he said, Iskachili b'shtar chov. So, hai shtar chov hechidami. What is this case of shtar chov? So, ilim shtar chov de'acherim, if it's a case where it's a shtar chov evidencing that other people owe him money. So says the Gemara, hainu milva bi'ad acherim. Then in that case, the first case of the Braisa and the second case of the Braisa are really talking about the same case. Because the second case of the Braisa was where he had a milveh biyad acherim, meaning he was owed money by somebody else, and he wrote over to the woman a power of attorney. Now, if shtar chov means it's evidence that other people owed him money, then both cases of the Braisa would in fact be one and the same, and there'd be no reason for the Braisa to teach me both cases. Elalav shtar chov didei. No, what it means is it's his own shtar chov, meaning that there was a shtar chov that the woman owed him money, and he's saying, become Mekudeshes to me with this shtar chov. And Rav Meir said, Mekudeshes. Why? Because ubim Mekadesh B'Milveh Kamiflagi. So it's got to be, they've got to be arguing about a case of Mekadesh B'Milveh. The Rav Meir says, Mekadesh B'Milveh Mekudeshes. That's why she's Mekudeshes. And the Chachamim say that Mekadesh B'Milveh is Eina Mekudeshes. So says the Gemara, Liolam shtar chov diacherim. No, really, we're talking about the shtar chov diacherim. And really, we're talking about a shtar chob diacherim, that is a shtar chob that other people owe him money. And over here we are arguing, or the distinction is between a milva b'shtar and a milva alpeh. In other words, the first case is a case of milva b'shtar, and then the second case is a case of milva alpeh. So Tosfos says that the basis for distinguishing between the case of milva b'shtar and milva alpeh is that when he empowers the woman to collect a debt that's owed to him, he's giving her an asset that has value, and therefore when he is signing over a loan that somebody else owes to him, whether it's a milva b'shtar or a milva alpes, in other words, that's why you need to teach me both cases in the Brisa, but they're both talking about when somebody else owes him money, he's giving the woman something of value. Somebody owes him $100, he's giving over the right to collect to the woman, he's giving something of value. But when he forgives a loan, but when he's mekadesh with a loan that the woman owes him, maybe it's not considered like he's giving her anything of value. It's merely forgiving a financial obligation. So forgiving a financial obligation is not the same thing as giving somebody direct benefit. So maybe both cases in the Brice are talking about when he's signing over to the woman the right to collect a chov that somebody else owes him. So says the Gemara, but what are these arguments over here? You mentioned that milva b'shtar, milva alpeh kamifligi. So, but milva b'shtar mai pligi. So what are they arguing about in the case of milva b'shtar? So we've looked at the Rebbe v'Rabbana kamifligi. They're arguing about Rebbe and the Rabbana. They're arguing about the machlokas Rebbe and the Rabbana. And what's that machlokas? The Tanya that we learn, osios niknos b'mesira divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that osios are niknos b'mesira. What's osios? So osios is a case of, let's say if you have a shtar and you want to give over to another person the ability to collect on the shtar. So the osios are the words that are written on the shtar. So Rebbe says that they are niknes b'mesira. In other words, if I give you a shtar chov that I'm holding that says that somebody else owes me money, then I can convey that right to collect over to you simply by giving you the shtar, simply by being moser the shtar to you. The Chachamim argue when they say, Bein shekosav lo masar, ubein shemasar v'lo kosav lo kona ad sheyichtov v'yimser. That the other person is not kona until you actually write a separate shtar kinyan, a separate shtar kinyan, saying that you are being makne the shtar chov to the other person. So the Chachamim say that osios are not nikne only b'mesira, but you actually, if you want to transfer the right to collect an obligation that's memorialized by a shtar, you actually have to write over a separate bill of sale to the other person. So Mar Islay de Rebbe, one Mandiyamar holds like Rebbe, and therefore a mayor will hold like Rebbe, and he'll say that Osios Niknos b'mesira, and therefore when you're handing over the shtar chov to a woman, you are giving her something of value, because you have now given her the ability to collect on that shtar chov, even though you haven't done a separate formal act of kinyan. All you've done is you've handed over the shtar, but that's enough, because Osios Niknos b'mesira. Umar Lesley de Rebbe, and the Chachamim will not hold like Rebbe. The Chachamim in our Brisa will hold like the Chachamim in this Brisa. They'll say Osios are not Niknos only b'mesira. You have to write a separate Shtar Chov. And because Osios are not Nikne b'mesira, when you give the woman a Shtar Chov, it's not considered as if you've given her anything, because you've not completed the Kinyan. The Kinyan is not complete unless you actually write a Shtar Mecher. So says the Gemara, Viba Seima, in another way of interpreting this machlokas, the Kuliyama Leslu de Rebbe. Nobody holds like Rebbe. In other words, everybody says that in order to be makne the right to collect in another shtar, you have to write a shtar mecher. It's not enough to do mesira. Osios ain't a nicknes be mesira. But v'halchab the Rapapa kamifligi. Over here, they're arguing about Rapapa. The Amar Rapapa. The Rapapa says, Haiman dezavin shtar lechavre. If a person sells a shtar to his friend, sarach lemichtav le, he has to write to the friend, sarach lemichtav le, k'ni lechav, that the shtar and all shibudim in the shtar are given to you. Because if you only give the shtar itself is really worthless. What you're giving is you're giving the shibud that the shtar represents. the obligation than the ability to collect that the shtar represents, that's what you're giving over. So in other words, if you want to transfer the ownership in a shtar, if you want to transfer the right to collect what's in a shtar, you have to use this special formulation. So Mar Islay de Rapapa. So one man the Amar holds like Rapapa, that's the Chachamim. And therefore, let's say if you give over a shtar chov but didn't write this special magical formula, then you've not given over anything of value. Umar Leslay de Rapapa. And the other man the Amar doesn't hold like Rapapa. Rameyer wouldn't hold like Rameyer wouldn't hold like Rapapa, and therefore when he writes over the shtar to the woman, he's actually giving her something of value because there's no requirement to say Knilcha v'chol shibudea. Vibas Ema says the Gemara, maybe another way to interpret it. The Ema de Kuli Alma Islu de Rapapa. Everybody else like Rapapa, that the only way to transfer the ability to collect, the only way to transfer the right to collect the money that's owed and evidenced by the shtar is to write down this special formula of Kni L'cha V'chol Shibudea. But V'hacha B'dei Shmuel K'mifli, they're arguing maybe about the halacha of Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel says, Amokher Shtar Chlov L'chaveiro, if somebody sells a shtar chov to his friend, V'chazar U'machlo, and then he turns around and he's mochel on the shtar, machol, it is machol. And furthermore, V'afilu Yoresh Mochel, even the Yoresh of the Malveh can be Mochel on the Chov after the Chov is transferred to a third party. So Tosfos over here is bothered. How could it be that if I sell a Shtar Chov to somebody else, meaning that person buys the Shtar from me, how could it be that I then retain the right, nevertheless, to be mochel on the shtar? That doesn't make sense. I've now sold the right to collect to a third party, so how could I then undermine the third party's right to collect by being mochel? So Tosfos says the answer is because this whole type of kinyan when it comes to a shtar is only a kinyan midrabanan. It's only a kinyan midrabanan, and because it's a kinyan midrabanan, we're not viewing the shtar as being fully removed from the rishus of the transferor. And therefore, the transferor retains some ability to actually be mochel on the shibud over here. The Ritva argues with Tosfos, and the Ritva says that the transfer of a shtar chov is a kinyan midaraisa. He doesn't say like Tosfos that it's only a kinyan midrabanan. Somebody wants to transfer a shtar chov, it is a kinyan midaraisa. Why could he then be mochel? So the answer is, the Ritva explains, because the mocher of the shtar chov remains the creditor. What he's selling is a shibud nechasim. He's selling the lien on the loves property. That's what he's selling. So the Ritva explains that there are two shibudim over here that are evidenced in a shtar chov. When a person has a shtar chov that somebody owes him money, there's a shibud aguf, as the Ritva says, and there's also a shibud nechasim. So the shibud aguf is that the lov owes the malva money. A shibud nechasim is that if it's a secured loan, is that the malva has the ability to collect from the loves nechasim. Says the Ritva, when he's transferring the shtar chov, when he's selling the shtar chov to somebody else, he's not selling the shibud aguf. He still has a shibud aguf relationship with the loveh. He's only selling the shibud nechasim. He's transferring the lien. So if I only transfer the shibud nechasim, but if I retain the shibud aguf, that explains why it's still within my right to be mochel on the shtar chov, because there's a shibud aguf that was not compromised by the sale of the shtar chov. So they're arguing by Shmuel. They're arguing about the halacha of Shmuel. Shmuel had said, again, mocher shtar chov l'chaveiro, umachlo machol, that even after I transfer a shtar chov, I can be mochel on the shtar chov. Second line, mem chesam et aleph, vafilu yorish mochel, demar islu de Shmuel. One man di amar holds like Shmuel, the chachamim hold like Shmuel, and therefore the chachamim will say that when he is mekadesh the woman by giving her the shtar chov, the woman doesn't have a smichas das. Why? Because the woman is always afraid that maybe the guy is going to be mochel on the chov. And therefore, it's not considered as if the guy gave the woman anything of value, and the woman didn't have in mind to be gomor amakne herself, because the woman's always nervous. Maybe the guy didn't give me anything of value. Maybe the guy's going to turn around and be mochel on the shtar chov, and I'm going to be out of luck. So, Umar leslei de Shmuel, and Rav Meir doesn't hold like Shmuel. And therefore, if you hold that mocher shtar chov l'chaveiro, that you can't be mochel, then the woman is confident that the shtar chov that you gave him is evidence of real value, and therefore she's going to be some chadaita, and she's going to give herself over in kedushin upon receiving this shtar chov. So says the Gemara Viba Seima, another explanation is the Kuli Alma Islu the Shmuel. Maybe everybody holds like Shmuel, that if a person sells the shtar chov to his friend and then he turns around and he's mochel, the mechila works. V'halcha b'isha kamifligi, but over here we're arguing about the psyche of the woman. So mar savala isha samcha daita, that even though generally the halacha may be that a mochel shtar chov l'chavero u'chazar u'machlo machel, maybe nevertheless the woman's going to have a smichas das. Why? Meimar amra, because she's going to say because what she's going to say is, look, this guy tried to be mekadesh me with the shtar chov. He knows that the only way it's going to work is if he does not, is if he is not mochel the chov. So is the guy really going to drop me for the benefit of the lova, for the benefit of being mochel on the chov? No, he's not going to do that, and therefore the woman will think, even though the guy might have the ability to be mochel on the shtar chov after he gives it over to the woman, he wouldn't do it because his goal is to be mekadesh the woman, and he knows the only way for the woman to be mekudeshes to him is if he in fact doesn't, if he in fact is not mochel on the chov. Umar Savar, and the other Mandi Amar says, the Chachamim will say that Isha Nami Lo Sam Chadaita, that the woman would also not have a smichas das, because the woman and a regular buyer of a shtar chov are both going to be afraid that the guy is going to turn around and is going to be mochel on the shibud that the shtar chov represents. So says the Gemara, okay, so that was all different machloksen by milva b'shtar. The milva alpem my pligi. What's the machlok as Rameir and the Chachamim if you want to say that they're arguing about something relating to milva alpeh? So the Ravuna Marav, they're arguing maybe about Ravuna Marav. The Amar Ravuna Marav, because Ravuna Marav says, Mana li biyad chatanei l'ploni b'mamet shloshtan. If a person says, Ruvain owes me money, and you should give over the money, Reuven, you give over the money to Levi, but my mitzlushtan. What's my mitzlushtan? My mitzlushtan means that all three parties are there. So the person, the malva is there, the lova is there, and the person who the malva wants to transfer the schus to is also there. So my mitzlushtan is an interesting type of kinyan that only works by giving over a chov, and by giving over a chov, Maimich Lushtan, Rashi says, is Hilchza below Taima. We don't understand why Maimich Lushtan works. Usually you require some form of kinyan, but Maimich Lushtan for whatever reason works. So again, the case is, it's a milval peh, there is no shtar, Reuven owes Shimon money, Shimon says in front of Reuven and Levi, Reuven, instead of paying me, go pay Levi. So says the Gemara Kana, Samar Savar Ki Kama Rav Hani Mili Bi Pekadon. So one man, the Amar, says that when Rav says that Maimich Lushtan works, maybe that's only by a pikadon. Avol milve lo, but by milve maybe it doesn't work, and therefore by Maimich Lushtan you can't be konet, you can't be mekadesh a woman by giving over the right to collect a milve al peh. But Maimich Lushtan, why would it work by a pikadon and not by a milve? So Rashi explains that a pikadon is more powerful than a milve because a pikadon has to be kept in existence. Therefore, it's tangible, and therefore you assume that when the mafkid is telling the Nifkad, go give over the thing that I gave you to a third party, the third party can have a smichas das that the thing is still is in existence, because the Nifkad has to keep the pikadon in existence. But by a milve, what do we say? We had said that milve lo tsa nitna, and therefore the third party is going to be less assured that he or she is actually going to get the loan, because maybe the loan doesn't exist anymore. Maybe the borrower already spent the money and the money's no longer in existence. So maybe it works only by pikadon, but it doesn't work by milve. Umar Sover and the other Mandi Amar says, Loshna milve veloshna pikadon. No, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a milve or whether it's a pikadon. It works in both cases, and therefore you could be kone a woman, you could be mekadesh a woman rather, b'mai mitzlushtan. If you give over the right to collect a chov bal peh b'mai mitzlushtan, because in either case, in the case of a milve or in the case of a pikadon, the woman is assured of getting something of value. So neima katanoi. Again, the Gemara is going to try to establish that this inyan of mekadesh b'milvez mekadeshes arena mekadeshes is a machlokas tanoam. Hiskachili b'shtar. If a person says become mekadeshes to me with a shtar, Rav Meir Omer ena mekadeshes. Rav Meir says ena mekadeshes. Now interesting, because in our brisa, Rav Meir had said Mekudeshes. And the brisa that we began with, Rameir said that if you're Mekadesh woman with a shtar chov, it is Mekudeshes. But here he says, Eina Mekudeshes. Rav Elazar Omer Mekudeshes. And Rav Elazar says that she is Mekudeshes. The Chachamim Omerim and the Chachamim say, Shamin Esanayir, Im Yesh Bashava Pruta Mekudeshes, Vim Lav Eina Mekudeshes. That we have to evaluate the paper that the shtar is written on. If the paper that the shtar is written on has a value of a pruta, then she's mekudeshes. If the paper that the shtar is written on does not have a value of a shtar pruta, then she's not mekudeshes. Until now in the Gemara, we're assuming that we're talking about a shtar chov. We're talking about being mekadesh, a woman with a shtar chov, the same way we have been discussing for the last daf. Says the Gemara, hai shtar hei chedami. What are we talking about here? Ilem a shtar chov diachayrim. If it's a shtar chov, if it's a shtar chov diachayrim, kasha d'rameira d'rameir. Then it's a stira in Rav Meir, because Rav Meir had said in the first brisa that we started with that she is mekudeshes. Here Rav Meir is saying that ain't a mekudeshes. Tosfa says, why is it necessarily a stira? Maybe in the first case he got the technicalities correct, and in this case he didn't get the technicalities correct. Remember, we had said according to Rav Papa that in order to give over a shtar, we wound up saying maybe everybody holds like Rav Papa that in order to give over a shtar, you have to write kenilecha v'chol shiubudeh, that you have to write that the shtar is nikna to you, and all the shibudim in the shtar are nikna to you. Maybe in the first brisa he wrote the magic formula, and maybe in this case he didn't write the magic formula. Tosfa says it's not mistaber to be mechalek in that respect, because the brisa uses the exact same lashon in both cases. And if there were really a distinction in the manner in which the shtar were given over, then the brisa should have called attention to that distinction. So therefore, that would not be a good answer, says Tosfos. But anyway, we have here machlokas rameir ad rameir. It's a stira. Ela b'shtar chob dida. Ah, so maybe it's not a shtar chov de acherim. Maybe it's a shtar chov dida. Maybe it's a shtar chov that says that she owes him money. Uben mekadesh b'milveh kamifligi, and they're arguing about mekadesh b'milveh. Some Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak kachav mayaskina kagon shekitcha b'shtar. No, we're not talking about a shtar chov. He's not being mekadesh woman with a shtar chov. What does it mean? He's mekadesh woman with a shtar. There were a couple of ways to be mekadesh a woman. One of them is kesef. One of them is shtar. What he wrote down, he wrote a shtar erisin and he gave it to the woman. That's the shtar that we're talking about here. So, and it's a shtar she'ena lov edim. It's a shtar that doesn't have edim. So it's a shtar erisin. Nobody signed the shtar and he gives it to the woman. Is the woman mekudeshes or not? So Rameir letameh, and Rameir goes according to his own reason. Again, Rameir over here said ena mekudeshes. Rameir letameh damar edei chasima karse. Rameir letameh is because he says edei chasima karse, that the shtar is good only if it has edei chasima. This shtar lacks edei chasima, therefore it's no good. Rav Elazar letameh diyamar edei mesira karse, and Rav Elazar goes according to his own reasoning because he says edei mesira karse, that you don't need edei chasima as long as witnesses witness the giving of the shtar erusin, then that's enough. Rabbanan and the Rabbanan who talk about the value of the shtar, misafkale ukad Rav Meir ikad Rav Elazar, they're mesupak whether we all like Rav Meir or like Rav Elazar. Hilkach shaman esanayer, therefore we evaluate the paper, and therefore we evaluate the paper to see maybe she should be mekudeshes not midin shtar, but maybe she should be mekudeshes midin kesef, because maybe if the shtar has enough value, it should be considered as if he gave her something of value. Im yesh b'shava pruta mekudeshes, v'im lav ein mekudeshes, and if not, then not mekudeshes. And if not, not mekudeshes. It's important to know, not mekudeshes here doesn't mean certainly not mekudeshes. Not mekudeshes means mekudeshes meisafek, because if there is a shava pruta, then he gave her something of value. If there's not a shava pruta, well, then it comes to the machlokes of whether edei mesira karse or edei chasima karse, so maybe it's a suffix, because if edei mesira karse, she would in fact be mekudeshes. Okay, vibas ema, and others say, maybe the machlokes is like this, another way of interpreting is like this, kagon shekasvu shelo l'shma, that he wrote the shtar erusin shelo l'shem isha, shelo l'shem ha'isha. Either he wrote it l'shem another woman, or he wrote it stam. Ubud Rish Lakish Kamifili, maybe they're arguing about Rish Lakish. The boy Rish Lakish, Tar Irishin Shakashvu Shalolashma, Tar Irishin that was written Shalolashma, Mahu, Havayalitsiya Makshinan, are we Makesh Havayalitsiya, that Mayitsiya Bina Lishma, just like a get, has to be written Lishma, Afavayanami Bina Lishma, also a Tar Irishin has to be written Lishma, Odilma Havayasla Dodi Makshinan, or maybe we compare one way of affecting Kedushin to another way of affecting Kedushin. Mayavaya the Kesef Lo Bina Lishma, just like by Avaya the Kesef, we don't require Lishma, there's no requirement that the money be minted l'shema isha, you just give it over to the woman and she's mekudeshes. Afavayi the shtar lo bina l'shma, also by shtar we don't require l'shma. So Basar the boy other pashe, after they raised the question, they wound up answering it. The yatsa v'haisa, Makish Havaya Liatsia, that the, just like a get has to be Lishma, so too the shtar has to be Lishma. This was the shtar that was written Shelo Lishma. So Amar Islay the Reish Lakesh. One man the Amar holds like Reish Lakesh. Rav Elazar holds like Reish Lakesh. Rav Meir holds like Reish Lakesh that you do require Lishma, and therefore this is not a valid Kedushin. Amar Islay the Reish Lakesh, and Reish Lakesh, and Rav Elazar doesn't all like Reish Lakesh. He says that you don't require Lishma, and therefore it is a valid Kedushin. Viba Sema, and another way to explain it is the Kuliyama Isul of the Reish Lakesh. Maybe everybody holds it has to be Lishma. That he wrote it Lishma, but Shalom Midaita, against her, without her knowledge. He didn't know that he was writing the Shtar. Uba Plukta, the Rav of Ravina, Rav Papa, Rav Shravia, Kamifli. And they're arguing in this machlokas. The Itmar, Kosvu Lishma Vishalomi Daita, if he wrote the Shtar Erison Lishma, but Shalomi Dasa Isha, Rav of Ravina Amri Mukadeshes, Rav and Ravina say that she is Mukadeshes, Rav Papa Rav Shravia Amar Ina Mukadeshes, and Rav Papa and Rav Shravia say that she is not Mukadeshes. And again, that this machlokes is based on a comparison of get to Kedushin. Rav and Ravina hold like, just like by get, we don't need the das of the woman because the Gerushin could be even Bal Karcho. So to here, we don't need the das of the woman, and therefore, as long as it was written Lishma, it's valid even if it was Shalomi Daita. However, Rav Papa and Rav Shravia hold that just like by a get, we need the das of the no sein. It's true, we don't need the das of the woman, but the person who's giving the get has to have das. We need the das of the no sein. So too by Kedusha, we need the das of the no sein. Who's considered to be the no sein? You might think it's the guy because he's giving the shtar. No, the no sein is a woman because she's giving herself over to the guy. And just like by get, we need the das of the no sein. So too by Kedusha, we need the das of the no sein, i.e. the woman. Therefore, if kasva lishma aval mishelo midaita, it's not going to be a good Kedushin. Says the Gemara Vayter, Neima Kahani Tanoi. Let's say this Machlokas Tanoim is like that much. It's like another Machlokas Tanoim. Ditanya, we learn in a Brisa. Aseli Shirim Nizamim Vetabos. If the woman, let's say, gives something over to a craftsman and says, make for me a ring or make for me a silk or whatever, Vekadesh Anilach, and I will be Mekudeshes to you with the schar, I will be mekudeshes to you with the schar pu'ula. In other words, with the fee that you would have otherwise charged me to make this piece of jewelry, if you don't charge me, I will be mekudeshes to you with that value. So Kevan Shasan, once the guy made the, and also the Mefarshim explained that we have to be talking about where the gold is hers, right? Because otherwise, if the gold is the craftsman, then when the guy gives over the jewelry to the woman, he's giving her something of value, but the gold belongs to the woman, and therefore the only thing of value that's changing hands is either the payment that she would make to him or the forgiveness of the obligation to pay. So says the Gemara, Kivan Shasan, once the craftsman finishes the item, Mekudeshes, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that as soon as the guy finishes the item, she is Mekudeshes to the craftsman. The Chachamim Amarim Eina Mekudeshes Ad Sheyagia Mamon Liyada. That she is not Mekudeshes until money reaches her hand. So, Hai Mamon Hechadami. So, what is this money? What money are we talking about that he is giving to her? So, Ilema Osa Mamon. So, if we're talking about Osa Mamon, in other words, the forgiveness of the wage. So, Michlal the Tanakama Sabra Afilu Osa Mamon Nami Lo. Does the Tanakama say that he doesn't even have to forgive to her the wage that she would owe him? Ela b'mai bo makacha. So what, in that case, how is she mekudeshes to him if we're not talking about a case where he's forgiving the obligation to pay the wage? Ela la b'maman acher. Ela mai, we have to be talking about other money. In other words, the craftsman has to give her money besides returning the jewelry. And the whole machlokes is whether he can be mekadesher for forgiving the payment in respect of making the jewelry, which we're going to say is a milveh, or if he has to give her additional funds. So elalav b'mamon acher shmami na b'mekadesh b'milveh kamiflegi. So why are we talking? Why is this a case of mekadesh b'milveh? V'savri, and because the reason that it's a case of mekadesh b'milveh is like this: the kuli alma yeshna l'schiras mitchila v'atzof, because everybody holds that, let's say if I hire a worker to perform a certain task, The question is, how is that worker, how does that craftsman earn his wage? Does that craftsman earn a little? Let's say if I hire somebody to make me a piece of jewelry for $100, and the guy starts making the jewelry, does he earn a little bit of the wage with each of the actions that he does up until the time when he completes the jewelry and then I owe him the full $100? Or do I continue to owe him nothing until he completes the jewelry and at that point I owe him the full $100? Now, if I'm owing him all along, if let's say he does a little bit and I owe him $1, and then he does more and I owe him $5, so on and so forth, so if he forgives the obligation to pay the wage, that wage is really viewed as a loan. Because the whole time along, the woman really owed him money, but it's not payable until the end. It's like a guy, you loan somebody money, but it's not payable until a date certain. So that's Mekadesh B'milveh, that's a loan. Because everybody agrees that the schiras, that the wage is earned incrementally, and therefore the balance of the wage that's owed by the woman up until the completion of the item is considered to be a milveh. And so my So when he forgives the payment obligation, he's forgiving a loan. One man the Amar says that it's Mekadesh B'milveh is Mekudeshes. The other man the Amar says Mekadesh B'milveh is Eina Mekudeshes. Says the Gemara, lo, the Kuliyama Mekadesh B'milveh Eina Mekudeshes. Everybody says Mekadesh B'milveh is Eina Mekudeshes. V'acha b'yeshan l'schiras mitchila v'adsof k'miflegi. And maybe what they're arguing about is they're arguing about yeshan Yeshna l'schiras mitchila v'ad sof or not. Mar savar eina l'schiras elo l'bsof. One man the Amar says, Rav Meir would say, the Rav Elazar would say that eina l'schiras Rav Meir in our brisa, in our first brisa, would say eina l'schiras elo l'bsof, that the schiras is earned only at the end, and therefore the wages aren't a debt because the woman doesn't owe anything until the guy completes the jewelry, and therefore when he forgives her obligation to pay, he's not forgiving a debt, he's actually forgiving something of monetary value. Umar Sarah and the Chachamim say yesh l'schiras mitchila v'ad sof, that yes, he does earn the wage the whole way along incrementally, and therefore it is considered to be a milveh, and when he's mekadesh b'milveh, it's eino mekudeshes. V'bosema, another way of interpreting is like this, to kuliyama yeshna l'schiras mitchila v'ad sof, everybody holds that the wage is earned incrementally, u'mekadesh b'milveh eino mekudeshes, and everybody holds that mekadesh b'milveh eino mekudeshes, v'acha b'uman kone b'shvach kli kamifilgi. Over here they're arguing about a separate issue, which is the issue of uman kone b'shvach kli. So Rashi explains, what does this mean? That when a Kablan does work, when somebody does work, is he paid a wage, or does he actually acquire a part of the kli that the owner of the kli then has to buy back from the craftsman? So shvach kli is the value that he adds to the kli by working on it, the enhancement of it. So according to the second view, if uman kone b'shvach kli, then he takes the payment sort of as a proceed of sale, because he's selling to the woman. The woman is buying from him the shvach kli that he's then getting in return. So he's effectively selling the stake that he acquired in the kli back to the owner. So mar savar uman kone b'shvach kli. Back in the Gemara, one man the Gemara says that uman is kone b'shvach kli. Umar savar ein uman kone b'shvach kli. And the other man the Gemara says that uman is not kone b'shvach kli, and therefore his wage is a regular wage. Now, if his wage is a regular wage, then we have a problem, because we had said that everybody says yeshnam but l'schiras mitchila v'ad sof and mekadesh b'milveh einu mekudeshes. So if the wage is a regular wage, doesn't work to be mekadesh a woman when you forgive the wage. It only works if you want to say that uman kone b'shvach kli, and he's selling her back his ownership interest in the kli. Says the Gemara, maybe it's a different machlokas. Maybe everybody says that the uman's wage is a regular wage. And everybody says that the wage is earned incrementally. And everybody says mekadesh b'milveh is einu mekudeshes. Over here, we're talking about where the craftsman added a gemstone to this piece of jewelry of his own. And he was mekadesh the woman by forgiving her obligation to pay him the wage, and also by giving back the jewelry, which now contains this additional gemstone that he gave himself. So that what this. So now they're arguing about milva and pruta. So milva pruta daito a pruta, mar savar daito a milva. One man the Amar says that her das is on the pruta, therefore she's mekudeshes. The chachamim say that no, if you're mekadesh with a milva and a pruta, the das is on the milva, and therefore mekadesh b'milva is ain't a mekudeshes. Ubeplukta dahani tanoi, and they're arguing with this machlokas tanam. The Tanya bescharsha sisi imach, that if a person says that you should become a kodeshes to me bescharsha sisi imach, with a schar that I did for you, in other words, he's forgiving something, einam a kodeshes bescharsha esa imach mekudeshes. However, if he says that he should be that she should be mekudeshes to him with the schar of something that he will do, then it's mekudeshes. Rav Nosson Amar Bishkarsa Esa Imach Ena Mekudeshes. Then no, if the guy says you should be mekudeshes to me on account of the schar that I will do for you, that's still not mekudeshes. Bekolshkein Bishkarsa Esisa Imach. Then certainly Bishkarsa Esisa Imach is Ena Mekudeshes, because all he's doing is he's forgiving an obligation. Rav Yehuda Anasi Amar Be'emes Amru Bein Bishkarsa Esisa Imach Bein Bishkarsa Esa Imach Ena Mekudeshes. That she's not mekudeshes. Ve'im Hosafla Nofach Mishelo Mekudeshes. And however, if he adds something of his own to the mix, then mekudeshes, because milve pruta daito apruta. So bein Tanakama, bein Rav Nosson, ika benayu schiras. So according to the Tanakama and Rav Nosson, the difference is schiras. In other words, how you explain the case of schiras, yeshnam schiras betchil vatsov, einel schiras elav besov. Bein Rav Nosson, Rav Yudu Anasi, ika benayu Milve upruta. And the way to explain this machlokes is in the machlokes of milve upruta. So mar savar milve upruta daita milve, mar savar daita upruta. One man never says that milve upruta daita milve. However, it was Rav Yehuda Anasi who said that if the guy forgives a loan and gives over a pruta of his own, then the das is on the pruta. Therefore, im hosafla nofach mishalo mikudeshes. So thus concludes the sugya of Mekadesh B'milveh, where we went back and forth to try to establish that Mekadesh B'milveh Einu Mekudeshes was really a machlokes tanam. At the end, what we wound up saying was, though, everybody says Mekadesh B'milveh Einu Mekudeshes. Okay, so let's learn the next Mishnah. We'll probably have to reserve the Gemara until tomorrow. So again, this Mishnah discusses attempting to be Mekadesh a woman, but the woman would be Mekudeshes under false pretenses. So let's see what this Mishnah says. Hiskachili bekos zeh shel yayin. The guy says to the woman, become Mekudeshes to me with this cup of wine. V'nimtza shel dvash, and it turns out that it was never a cup of wine, it was a cup of honey. Shel dvash, v'nimtza shel yayin. Or if he said, become a kodeshes to me with a cup of honey, and it was really a cup of wine. V'dinar zeh shel kesef, v'nimtza shel zav. He says, become a kodeshes to me with a dinar of kesef, and it turns out that it was really a dinar of zahav. Shel zav, v'nimtza shel kesef. If he says, become a kodeshes to me with a dinar of zav, and it turns out that it was a dinar of kesef. Al menasha ani asher, become a kodeshes to me on the condition that I'm a rich guy, v'nimtza ani. And it turns out that he's poor. Uneven imsa ashir. If it become a kodeshes to me on almanas that I'm a poor guy, and it turns out that he's rich, ena mekudeshes. She is not mekudeshes. She is not mekudeshes in any of these situations. And Rav Shimon Omer. Rav Shimon says hitel im hitel ashvach mekudeshes. Wait. That the woman is not mekudeshes. That's only where the woman was engaged under false pretenses, where the woman gave herself over to kedushin under false pretenses, but she was also disadvantaged. If the woman was advantaged, then maybe she's gomer amakni herself. So, for example, if the guy says become mekudeshes to me with this coin of silver, and it turns out that it's a gold coin, gold is more valuable than silver, maybe she would be mekudeshes. The Tanakama holds, however, that kedushin requires the woman's consent and her mental commitment to be mekudeshes. And the woman's consent over here is all based on false premises, and therefore the kedushin is invalid. The Meiri explains the shita of the Tanakama that even where the woman appears to be benefited by the misrepresentation, because every situation is different, we can't assume that the woman would necessarily agree to the arrangement if it was misrepresented to her. In other words, we can't assume that because she wants a dinar of kesef, she would automatically want a dinar shel zav. Maybe we're talking where she's working on a piece of jewelry that's made out of kesef and she needs the kesef. So we can't assume that she would be okay with the misrepresentation, even if she's benefited. The Tanna Kamma would say she's never okay. Rav Shimon says she's okay if she is benefited by the misrepresentation. We'll pick up from the Gemara explaining this Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow. Wishing everybody a good Yontif. For those on YU Torah, we'll pick up, God willing. We'll learn with each other again on Sunday morning on Isru Chag.